Realty Nation, it's your host, Avi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. I'm excited today because we're talking about money. And every time you do a deal, if you're a new investor, you're a pro investor, guess what you need? All of the green. And it's not, and every green has different shades. Sometimes you have money that isn't as flexible. It's not going to be as green. Sometimes you have money that's very understanding of what your requirements are. They're willing to partner on deals, essentially act like a partner for you, and give you the right access, the right resources, so that you know that you're unequivocally making the right decisions when investing in a fix and flip, in a long-term rental, new construction deal, maybe even a bridge loan, etc. This episode is brought to you by Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo in Houston from March 26th to the 27th. Set your sights on making 2021 a success with more knowledge and know-how by learning and networking with top-tier real estate investing pros. For a limited time, and I really mean a limited time, receive a buy one, get one deal on both the live event and the virtual tickets online. Register for two tickets and enter the code PODCAST at checkout to receive the special pricing. Again, that code is PODCAST. Visit thinkrealty.com/Houston for more information. So today we have Dana from Civic, and I want to make sure that we have the conversation that's for new investors and pro investors. So Dana, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. You know, I love the partnership that we have at Civic with Think Realty and the events that we get to do. So I'm super honored that you have me here and we get to talk about investors because, you know, that's what we do here at Civic is lend money to investors.
There you go. And you're going to be at our Houston event, which is coming up in March 26th and 27th. And this show, today's show, is sponsored and brought to you by the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo in Houston, March 26th, 27th. Set your sights on making 2021 a success with more knowledge and know-how by learning and networking with top-tier real estate investing pros. For a limited time, receive a buy one, get one deal on both live and virtual tickets. I'm taking advantage of that. Register for two tickets. Enter the code PODCAST at checkout to receive the special pricing. Go to thinkrealty.com/Houston for more info. So, Dana, when it comes to a new investor, and when it comes to wrapping my mind around how do I use capital in the right way, and then also show up to the capital, right? Like as a new investor, I need to show up, present my best self, and say, yeah, okay, this is the first time I'm doing it. Yeah, I might have to pay a little more. Yeah, I mean, these are some of the expectations. You got to play the game to win the game. How do I present myself in the best possible way to Civic?
So Civic, I mean, we love working with first-time investors. I think, you know, from, you know, our perspective of this industry, everybody has to start somewhere. So we fully expect that, you know, people that have never been in this space before who want to get in it, want to create legacy wealth, are going to be, you know, part of our core customer. So here's the things that I would say to an investor that you should be prepared for when talking to a capital partner, i.e. Civic. One, know about what your FICO credit score is. While credit is a piece of what is reviewed, the score is really going to be one of those things that's going to help a capital partner be able to kind of put you in a bucket or a bandwidth of from a pricing perspective. So most lenders are going to do that. The second thing is your assets. Listen, you're a first-time investor, right? A capital partner is going to look for you to have some skin in the game. So there's a couple of ways you can do that. One, maybe you got your own cash that you're able to work with, which is great. We love when you have your own cash. Maybe you've been working with an REI or some other type of organization and you found a JV partner, which also is great. Maybe you've got gift funds. Whatever the case may be, you are going to have some assets. Most specifically, somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 20 to 25% of whatever your purchase price is. Now, different lenders are going to work differently. So here at Civic, with our first-time investors, we'll loan up to 75% of that purchase price. And then depending on your FICO score, we could possibly even offer up to 100% of the rehab financing as well. So that piece is key, right? Because that means that's less money out of your pocket. You get a quicker return on your investment. So score, assets, major big deal. Also, the contractor that you're working with. The biggest mistake that we see first-time investors is not having a capital partner that's invested with them to help vet their contractor. So we have a contractor review process that we take the first-time investors contractors through. We want to make sure they've got the right insurance coverage. We want to make sure that they're financially stable. The worst thing that can happen when you're a first-time investor is that you get a shoddy contractor, right? And, you know, 2 weeks in the job, they pull off. You've already given them money. And now you're in a place that your project is at a standstill because you either have to go get a new contractor who's probably going to cost you more money. So your return on investment is going less. So those are really three key things from a first-time investor that I would make sure that you have really shored up and tight when you start the conversation with a lender partner.
So have you ever had the conversation with borrowers in that, hey, I've tried it with one or two contractors and they just suck, like, and they're just bad. How do you recover? You're like, I've had these conversations far too many times. I'm reading your face. How do new investors deal with that?
It's a challenge, right? I mean, one of the things that I would say is do your research up front. The other thing is, listen, we've got some really great organizations within the real estate investment lending space, right? Real estate investment clubs, real estate investment associations. These are people that have already been through this process. So tap into those groups, talk with them, get recommendations and referrals. I would say really the best way as a first-time investor to work with a contractor is to do it from a referral as opposed to, you know, searching contractors in my area and, you know, doing a Google search, right? Now, you know, maybe you can do some reviews and that type of thing. And certainly that's an important piece of it. But get someone that gets a referral. Have them show you the jobs that they've done. I would actually recommend touring a job that contractor has completed, right? And then listen, this is your money. So if you're going to be paying someone and you're going to be using your money, and hopefully you're going to be using my money here at Civic, make sure that they have financial stability. It is okay for you to ask them about their financial stability to complete your project.
That's totally fair. And I would even, I love the recommendation piece, right? Like the referrals. And I would even say, find out where those contractors are currently doing their jobs. And just walk into that property, or walk onto the property, and just see what's going on. And if their crew is lazy, you'll know right away. The energy of that project, the vibe that you get walking in, will be different than the vibe of a very productive, happy crew. And you can see right then, hey, you know what? We might want to not use this person, even though we have heard of them, or this is the first time I'm getting to meet them. So very well noted.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, you know, we're still in, you know, the COVID era, right? So contractors, good contractors, are hard to come by because they're all busy, right? The costs for doing a rehab have gone up just tremendously, just even in lumber costs alone, right? So all of those components are really key factors. So, you know, if the market is thin on good ones, you're going to really have to do your homework and vet those guys out to make sure that you're getting the right one for your project.
Yeah, at this point, I think we should just have like a will the price of lumber ever go down.com meter, right? Like all I talk about is lumber. Half the conversations that I have are about lumber and the cost of labor. And it's like, okay, I get the fact that labor and lumber both start with the letter L, okay? Like, today's show is sponsored by the letter L. It's nuts, but you're absolutely right, right? Like, we take a look at, A, getting in touch with these contractors. And if you're a pro and you already have your contractors, make sure not only do you pay them on time, but you have to have a capital partner like Civic that understands the right draw structures. They're not going to double dip. They don't have their funds earmarked, right, for eight different projects. And you'll see that with a lot of lenders that are just starting out that aren't as well capitalized as Civic because they want to get the word out there. They want to commit themselves to the different deals. And yes, this has happened. You will find that, let's say they have $1 million in draws that week. Well, you might be delayed a couple of days because they just don't have all of the money for your project just yet. So Dana, if you will, maybe talk to some of the challenges that you're seeing with capital partners, brokers, other lenders in the industry that sets Civic apart from the rest.
So two things that I want to just comment on that you just said. The first is lumber, right? Absolutely. One of the key differentiators that Civic has versus any other lender partner in the country is we have a partnership with Home Depot. And we have this thing called the Rapid Pass. And it is up to a 25% discount of appliances, of plumbing, of lumber, of whatever it takes to do that rehab project. So whether we've got an investor that's acting as their own contractor, which we do allow, and they're going to be buying all of those supplies themselves, or maybe they're working with a contractor who doesn't have a pro account yet, or doesn't get as deeply discounted as what we might offer, we have that as one of those bonus things of getting to work with Civic on every rehab deal that we do for our customers. So that's immediate cash in an investor's project pocket that they didn't anticipate having going into the transaction. If you can save, you know, up to 25% on the costs of actual material for your project, guess where that money goes? Cha-ching, right in the bank account. So that's number one when we're talking about things like lumber.
Yeah.
Number two, when you talk about deep pockets, one of the really cool things that I get to announce on your podcast, and we had a press release at the very beginning of the week, is our recent acquisition by Pacific Western Bank, which is a $35 billion asset bank. So when we talk about strong capital in the private money sector, I don't like to use the word unlimited, but I might be able to use the word kind of unlimited that we have to be able to lend out to the investors, whether that's a broker customer bringing us investors or whether we're working directly with investors, because we have both channels, including a correspondent channel. So those are the three opportunities customers have with us to work at Civic.
Wow. First of all, congratulations. That is huge. Yeah.
It's huge.
You fall into now like you're the Fed, right? Like you could just keep printing money and you have an unlimited. How does it feel to have a money tree in your backyard, Dana? Seriously.
I'm not going to lie. It's a pretty amazing place to be. Our executive leadership team has been working on this for about 18 months.
Wow.
There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. There was a lot of opportunity with other acquisitions that Civic had. And I think because of the way that we came through COVID, and one of the things that I'm absolutely the most proud of being here at Civic is when everything happened last March, and you know, we saw a lot of competition have to suspend or even, you know, close their doors altogether. We never missed a funding. We didn't suspend any programs. We didn't have to suspend funding. We weren't at the table and didn't have the money. None of those things happened, which is a pretty amazing place to be. We had some minor changes to leverage and some increase in pricing, which we adjusted because of the market. But overall, those were really minor in comparison to what many of our competitors had to go through with margin calls. We never had a margin call.
Yeah.
So the strength of Civic was tremendous. And I think that was one of the things with PWB that really solidified that relationship being such a great marriage, because they're such a strong bank, and we were so strong in our marketplace and what we've done for them. I mean, we did over $1 billion worth of paper last year. That is unheard of. There's not another lender, not too many other lenders that are in our space that lend in the footprint that we do that can give that testimony. And we had major milestones as a company. We hit 10,000 funded units since the inception of the company. We hit over $4 billion that we have funded in this space. So when you talk about the strength of Civic, it's tremendous and absolutely one of the things that I'm most proud of to be associated with this organization.
That's huge. Okay. Current situation with Civic, you're crushing it. You have a money tree. And that's like really what I need to take away, which is awesome. Where do you see, what is interesting is last year, I was paying attention to just nationwide lenders and they all vanished. But I didn't really hear that from Civic. Like you guys were still lending. I'm like, what's going on with Civic? And I've got some friends over there, and I'm just like, dude, we're having a blast. I'm like, okay, that's pretty legit. That's awesome. And almost, I mean, you remember, this was April, May, June. Almost all your institutional lenders just vanished, and then your local lenders got creeped up and said, hey, we're going to start charging 4 and 15, 4 and 18, 4 and 16. Now, 4 points and 15% interest for the for you new investors out there. And, like, within months after, everybody came right back into the market, and now we're back down to, like, your twos and sevens and twos and nines and stuff. So good to hear. From a 2020 and 2021 perspective, COVID is obviously a topic that is so, I mean, we've talked about it so many times in the show, but kind of compare where you think you guys were in 2020 to where you potentially will be in 2021 and 2022. Are you seeing any slowdown in the market? Are you seeing only acceleration? If so, do you have any particular markets that you like? Any particular markets that you don't like? I know there are a lot of questions, but maybe pick one and start with it. hey, I just get I get to ask all the hard questions. You just get to answer them.
There we go. We are stoked about 2021. I mean, to your point, when you talk to people at Civic, we're always having a good time. We picked up a tremendous amount of market share in 2020 because of some of the challenges that some of our competitors did see. And because of the core values, I think that we have here, and I don't know if you're familiar, we all carry a Civic coin. It looks like this. We get them for all different kind of milestones, but the day you start, you get a Civic coin. And it has our ABCCs, our core values on it. So it's acting with honor, being a great partner, communicating clearly, creating smiles, and simplifying. So those are the core values that we operate off of internally and externally. And so when you have that type of commitment to partnership, the market share that we picked up, it wasn't just one-timers, right? We've got customers now for life because we were there with them when there wasn't money available for them. And we've kind of created this legacy pathway of building these relationships with these. So 2021, we're stoked about it. We came in with gangbusters into the new year. As a matter of fact, December was $140+ million funded month for us in just our two core products, just our bridge and our rental, which is the best month that we've ever had, not adding in multifamily. So 2021 is going to see a lot of interesting things for Civic. Obviously, with our new acquisition, I think that we all are really invested, not in just growing our footprint. We will be expanding our states. Presently, we're in 20 states plus DC. So we're definitely looking to add into our licensing states and add by a geographic way of doing business. But also in working with our broker partners and really, focusing on what their customers are looking for and doing from a program perspective pricing. We had a huge price drop in early January. So when you talk about, you know, people being in the eights and nines, I'm in the fives and sevens. When you got the money tree, you get to do that kind of stuff. And then from there is expanding our programs and really opening up all our guidelines that are going to serve our investors and our broker base really, really well. So 2021 is a huge goal for us. We did just over $1 billion in 2020. We're looking to be just shy of $2 billion in 2021. So virtually looking to double what that production is. We all totally believe that it is a goal that we can hit. And from there, 2022 to 2025, the number goes not like, you know, this, it goes like this.
That's
so
awesome.
Bill Tesser is a firm believer in setting goals out there, and none of us want to let Bill down. So we're working every single day to make it happen.
Incredible. So two questions, and maybe you can talk to both points, or maybe one of the two, depending on how much information has been currently released. Question number one, what products is Civic really favoring right now? Are they single family fix and flips? Are they single family rentals? Are they build to rent? Are they new construction? Is it more bridge? And maybe what percentage of those buckets What percentage of your money is going into each bucket potentially? And then number two, what was the acquisition dollar number, if you don't mind me asking? Super curious.
So I don't have that information, and I don't think it was actually put in our press release.
Okay.
So I don't know that they've made that information completely public as of yet.
That's fair.
If I had it, I would be happy to give you the scoop and share it.
Of course. Curiosity kills the cat, I think.
The first question in relationship to programs. So, you know, Civic was born out in our foundation product in our bridge, which is where our fix and flip and our recapitalization program is. So that really drove the first almost 5 years of the company. In the fall of 2019, we released the rental program. And in the last 18 months, I guess, really, that program has just come on gangbusters. I mean, as you know, the market starts to shift in different ways where people decide, oh, wait, you know, that market that I have been buying, flipping it, and being able to sell at a profit has now flattened off or softened a bit. And so it may behoove me to kind of create some legacy wealth and do a, you know, buy, rehab, and hold. So our rental program over the last year specifically has really started to drive up numbers. So in December, we were still about 60%-ish in our bridge, 40%-ish in our rental program. Both of those programs are continuing to expand with the things that we're going to be offering in them. The one that I am most excited about is our multifamily program. Right now we have it. It starts at our five doors. But it has been going through this whole revitalization under the leadership of Brian Lee, and it is going to be dynamic and awesome, for a multi-unit perspective, in the real estate investment lending space. So we should be launching that or relaunching our multifamily here very shortly. So I'm super excited about that particular program as well.
Excellent. Dana, last question for you. 2022, 23, 24, moving forward, are you bullish on the real estate market? Are you bearish on the real estate market? If so, why? You got 30 seconds.
Oh, listen, I don't think that there's any, if you've never been in this space, now is the time to come. Don't dip your toe, folks. Jump in. I think that this market is going to be so hot for the next few years. You know, listen, unfortunately, the real estate investment industry in itself capitalizes oftentimes on, you know, what others would consider a tragedy, whether it's a hurricane and investors are going in and picking up properties, you know, off market because homes have been destroyed by flood or whatever, and they purchase them, they rehab them, and then they, you know, put them out in the market. You know, or, you know, unfortunately, we're experiencing a time in our country from an economic standpoint where there's a lot of people that have been out of work and may not be able to continue their mortgage payments as they are today. The investors have an opportunity to help these customers not go through a foreclosure. So help them from a credit perspective, be able to buy a property off market, so still have a property where they can have a return on investment. And I think that that's a win-win situation. And then as these customers are coming back in, you know, to the marketplace and they're working again, they're going to be in a credit position that they're going to be able to get back into a home without much, you know, much pain as going through a foreclosure. So I think that there's going to be a lot of properties available from an auction perspective. I think there's going to be a lot of properties available off market. If you as an investor are not campaigning in areas that you want to be investing and reaching out via letters or door knocking or whatever your methodology is, start that now, because there are going to be properties available through this year into next year. And there's going to be some great buys that you're going to be able to make money on. So we're super excited about this space for the next few years. Absolutely.
Excellent. Dana, thanks so much for your time. I certainly appreciate it. This was awesome. Congratulations on the acquisition. That is incredible. And well, let's celebrate. We'll celebrate the money tree at Think Realty Houston. For sure.
We definitely will. I'm super excited to see you. And I'm happy that Think Realty is finally getting into Texas. It's a phenomenal market. So it'll be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Now, the one thing I haven't had is a red draw. Is that any good?
You know, I'm a whiskey drinker. I'm not going to lie.
That's fair. Cool. Maybe we'll share some Woodford or something. Great.
There you go.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate the time. What's the best way to get in touch with Civic if we need some money?
So depending on where you're located, we want to make sure that we're putting the right person in your market, because we have accounting sales agents, you know, located throughout the country. So you can go to our website, www.civicfs.com. It'll have all of the information there about, you know, who we are, our leadership team, programs that we offer, and we can get you paired up with the right sales agent to do what you want to do.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. See you in Houston. All right, Think Realty Nation, this next segment is brought to you by Narada Real Estate Investments, your premier source for cash flow investment property. Visit naradarealestate.com. Listen, there are a couple of tips that you need to know to grow your leads list. And this is an article written on thinkrealty.com by Christine Gentry and usprobateleads.com. A couple different ways. Number one, probate leads. I used to run the gamut on probate leads when I was just starting out, maybe a long, long time ago in Atlanta. Probate leads are incredible. Quote, probate leads are a great and growing source of leads to find motivated sellers. They're available for free at the county courthouse, but you may prefer to purchase leads and spend your time and energy making connections with those leads. Probate leads you can find in the city. At the courthouse. Every courthouse is a different way of doing it. Fulton County, Atlanta, you actually have to go there. They've got big books, and they've also recently made those digital. Some courthouses will still use the old school pen and paper. That's still what they do. So just kind of know that. But probate, fantastic. You know why those leads are so good? Not a lot of people go check them out. So just saying, go check them out. Number two, I would take a look at tax liens. Here it says number two, additional courthouse leads. Yeah, foreclosure, liens, evictions, divorce, etc. This data, of course, is available for free at the courthouse. Also, my favorite, tax liens. Number three, absentee landlords. I would go check out GoSection8.com. Right, these landlords that have their homes for rent for GoSection 8 voucher holders, sometimes they're in distress and they just don't know how to get rid of the properties. Why, maybe they're just looking for you, the investor, to help them out of a sticky situation. Well, absentee landlords or even your Section 8 landlords can be a very good source of inventory. You want to know the other two? Go check them out. Go read this article on thinkrealty.com titled The 5 Tips for Growing Your Leads List, and make sure that you have a constant supply. Listen, at the end of the day, the person has two things. Number one, inventory, leads. Okay, number two, capital. You got these two things, nothing can stop you from dominating the real estate game. That's a wrap. That does it for today's show. Let's wrap it up. You got questions for me, go to thinkrealty.com. And got to give a huge shout out to the Think Realty family. You guys have done an excellent job in putting together this Houston event that's coming up March 26th and 27th. And you want to learn more? I go to thinkrealty.com/Houston for more information. But listen, I'm going to be in Houston during this event. It's the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo in Houston from March 26th to March 27th. You want to learn? You want to network? Get that industry scoop. Get that insider scoop of what's going on. And remember, inside information on the stock market is illegal. Inside information in real estate is not. And we're also offering you a buy one, get one deal on both the live in-person tickets and the virtual tickets. So if you want either sets of tickets, go to thinkrealty.com/Houston and use the code podcast when purchasing your tickets. All right, it's a wrap. Get in touch with me online anywhere at Avi Golhar, specifically LinkedIn. That's where I live these days. And until next time, happy investing.